السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Brothers, we are fortunate that we have three of our ulama and executive members of the Jamiatul Ulama. Inshallah, they'll be addressing us on the personality of Sheikh Abul Hasan Ali Hassan al-Nadwi. And Hazrat Mawlana Marchi Saab is here from the Madrasa Noor, the blind madrasa in Pietermaritzburg. Allah Ta'ala reward him from coming all the way and gracing us in this jalsa. And we have Professor Salman Nadwi Saab, who needs no introduction. And inshallah, Mawlana Abdul Haq Umar Ji Saab will give us some advice also about the life of Hazrat and make dua in the end. Please come a bit closer. Be mindful of those performing salah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected ulama kiram, elders and brothers, I have a very short time to talk on Hazrat Mawlana Sayyid Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah alayh. And I will try to bring as much as possible regarding his life and regarding the great loss that the whole Muslim Ummah has faced by his demise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him abundantly and grant him the great stage in Jannah.
Amen.
Amen. Respected brothers, Hazrat Mawlana Ali Mia Saab, as he was affectionately known, rahmatullah alayhi, he was also my sheikh. And sometimes I find it difficult sitting in this congregation over here that I might be guilty of praising him sometimes for my benefit. May Allah forbid this. But sometimes it becomes necessary to bring certain angles or certain dimensions of a person's personality so that we may appreciate and try to understand more of his sacrifice. Respected brothers, his name was Ali. His kunya was Abul Hasan. He had no children. His wife, from his wife he had no children. And his father passed away when he was very, very young. His father was a very great alim, Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hayy rahmatullah alayh. And his elder brother, Sayyid Abdul Ali rahmatullah alayh, was very influential in molding his younger brother. And Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi always, he is very appreciative and he was very thankful and always in ihsan of his brother. And more so to the fact that his brother had was more like a fatherly figure for him at all times. And he was very, very considerate towards his mother. I'll just give you an example that once when an offer came to him by Malik Faisal rahmatullah alayhi that he take over the rectorship of Medina University. And so Mawlana explained that it's not possible for me because I got Nadul Ulama in Lucknow. So Malik Faisal told him, well, it's now easy, you can stay 6 months of the year, 6 months you can spend time in Saudi, 6 months in your country. So then he then said that, I need to consult with my mother. When he explained his offer to his mother said, Bete, humne isliye nahi padhaya aapko ki aap shahon ke yahan thehre. So this was his mother. And Mawlana, if somebody can try and explain his quality, what was the most outstanding sifa, what was his most outstanding quality, I would say that it is tawazun. And it is his unique ability to be in the middle, you know, the balance that he had in him. That no person came to him felt left out or felt that he was at disadvantage at. Because if you look at his qualities, sometimes a certain person, he might be very strong in a certain quality. He might be very strong in tasawuf, in a lot of zikr. He's a master in zikr. Then you find a person, he's an academic. You might find a person, he's a historian. Allah Ta'ala had blessed Hazrat Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi that he was jami', he had all his qualities totally in him, in a sense that he was perfected in that sense, alhamdulillah. Allah had blessed him. And then the people that came to him also too, they were of different viewpoints, they were of different school of thoughts. For example, they were the modernists, so-called modernists. Then there were people who were conservative. Then there were people who had different viewpoints regarding Islam. But when they came to him, they surrounded him, and they had so much of itiqad, so much of faith in him. And his attitude was at all times that he was very benevolent to all people. I know to an extent that they were even in his majalis, I found that they were Shias, and they respected him. From his books, and this is what was one of his greatest contributions, that his writing, he was able to rejuvenate the spirit and rekindle that faith, that iman, into people when Islam was at its very difficult moments. I'm talking specifically about, if you can understand, that during the time of nationalism, in Arab nationalism, and Jamal Abdel Nasser, when he had killed so many of the Ikhwan, and at that time, people felt that there's no chance, there's no future for Islam now. Shaykh al-Hassan al-Banna had passed away, and Sayyid Qutb, Rahmatullah Alayhi, it was also at that time at his death, when Hazrat Mawlana Abul Hassan al-Nadwi, when he went to Cairo at that time, and when he addressed the Ikhwan at that time, and he mentions this in his majalis, he said that it was very courageous of me. It was very, in fact, the word to use over here is that sometimes you can say that very impertinent of me at times, that I was addressing the Ikhwan at that time, they had lost a leader. And I explained to them at that time what the difficulties was in fighting openly against the regime at that time. And he says, they could have criticized me, but out of my respect, they did not criticize me, and they listened to me most humbly. And this was a person that in one sphere, he had the respect of the Ikhwan. He had the respect of the ulama of the Arab. And the other sphere, if you look at it, that he was actually in the company of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Raipuri Rahmatullah Alayhi. He was in a company of Maulana Ahmad Ali Lahori Rahmatullah Alayhi. His first Sheikh was Maulana Deen Muhammad of Pakistan. He was such a great buzrug. Maulana Ashraf Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi says that this man's zikr was so powerful and so great that even the plants and the flowers of the town should make zikr with him. So he was a Jami Shakhsiyat in that sense. If you look at, if you read the Khanqah of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Raipuri Rahmatullah Alayhi, he states that there were times that as the Sheikh was talking on tasawuf, on matters of tasawuf, at that time it was a matter of the partition between India and Pakistan. And there was politics discussed in the Khanqah itself. And it stated that some of us, we felt it, gina guzri hamko, we felt it so difficult that we hope that Sheikh try and change the topic, change the track. Don't talk of this of his. It's not the right thing to speak now. Let's talk of something on tasawuf itself. But he says, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Raipuri Rahmatullah Alayhi should speak about this. And he was very vociferous and strong about that. And I also found this also with Sheikh Abul Hassan al-Nadwi in his Khanqa also too. When you sit over there, we are sitting, we are talking. And he tells you about his forefather, Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayhi. If a person can just read between the lines what he's trying to say, he's not trying to talk of revolution, but he's talking of that spirit to get back towards the real Islam. When he quotes, he says that Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayhi, he created people of such caliber. He created people of such caliber, he says, this is very common. He says that once a Pathan came up to Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayhi and says that, tell me, you Hindustanis, is there something wrong with your eyes? He said, what do you mean? He said, no, I think something wrong with you people's eyes. He says that we find that so many months you people have left India, you have come to our place of here in Peshawar, but not one of you have we found looking at our women, yet our women are so beautiful. He says, no, well, this is the training. This is the training given to us by our Sheikh. And this was what Mawlana Abul Hassan al-Nadwi Rahmatullah Alayhi, sometimes he explained this, and it was enough, you know, to explain that in tasawuf, from point of tasawuf, that where we are and what the ideal is. If it came to his opposition at times, when if you oppose a certain person, it is stated that when Mawlana Ahmad Lahori Rahmatullah on his assistants told him that write a book against Ghulam Mirza Qadiani, write a book against him. He says, I don't know anything about this subject over there. Plus, I don't have any munasabah regarding this because it's not a subject that I like. It's not something that I like. He said, well, no, he insisted and insisted. He said, eventually a time came that I was put into a room for 10 days and put in the room over there, and I made itikaf And it says that the kitabs were all put into on desks, you know, and I ate and I slept in the room over there. So every day after whatever I wrote, I should come to Maulana Ahmad Ali Rahmatullahi and she said, Paro, Alimiya, kya likha aapne? He says that that sheikh, the love of the sheikh at that time over there, he should detoxify me because those books that I was reading were very dangerous. And they were so, it was so difficult books, and may Allah Ta'ala reward him that he had written such a book. It was written in such a tone, it was written in such a manner, so academically, that he did not vilify, he did not swear Ghulam Riza Qadiani. But it was the most dangerous book that the Qadianis ever faced. They couldn't answer that book. It was his book, Mada Khasal Alam, that Islam in the World. It was a book that if a person understands Western philosophy, if he understands the psyche of the West, and as to what do you call the Roman and what the Greek philosophy is, and how it permeates into society, it was his understanding at that time, when the Ikhwan were at the lowest, when this book came over there, it gave them that love, it brought them back again towards Islam. It gave them that courage, it gave them that feeling that definitely Islam is still alive. And once somebody asked him, in fact I have this cassette here by me, brothers, it is stated that what was his central point, what was his central theme regarding all his tasanif, regarding all his writings and his speeches. He say the central point, if somebody can try to understand, is this way, that to try and to rejuvenate the faith, to try and bring people to feel that Islam is still alive. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him for this, because he was on the same tree, in the same silsila as Imam Ghazali, Ibn Taymiyyah, or even what he called Shah Waliullah rahmatullahi alayhi. He was in the same tree, was in the same caliber. I cannot go further, brothers, but I can just tell you something that as ulama sitting over here, the said alims over there, he said a point that, and I found this in his quality, that kabhi kisi se kuch na poocho, don't ask any person for anything. He says that you read the Quran in 93, ya qawmi la asalukum ali ajra. I'm not asking you for anything. This was the call of the Prophet at all the time. I'm not asking you for anything. No financial remuneration. And he mentioned this, that there are times a person can have all the kamalat in him. He might be a very good speaker, a very good academic, well-researched, whatever. But the moment he stretches his hand off over there, he loses all his respect. And Hazrat Maulana, he was the founder of Rabat al-Islami. And once somebody tried to object as to why he has such a high position. So then the ambassador at that time in New Delhi says, you know, I've invited all your people, and every time after an invitation goes, I give you people a packet, you'll take the envelope and go away. But up till today, Abu Hassan Ali hasn't taken a packet yet. So this was his kamal, and this was, we cannot find a person like this in the world today. Alhamdulillah, he has left us his legacy in a sense of his books. From his books, respected brothers, I think the most important book, the book that really affected me personally, was his book on Islam and the World. Another very wonderful book to read of his is Faith versus Materialism. In fact, this is a synopsis, it is a tafsir of Surah Kahf itself. And it so happened that such was his love for Surah Kahf, I was made to understand that he passed away reciting Surah Kahf on Friday. And another very interesting book for us to read would be From the Depth of the Heart of America. These are books written for people living in Western countries. These are books written for people who are being constantly faced with the materialism and the challenges of the West. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him. I've passed my time. May make dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give Hazrat Maulana Abu Hassan al-Rahmatullah Ali high darja. Hazrat Maulana Salman Sahib will be now giving us a...
احمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم I'm very happy that Alhamdulillah the Jamiat Ulama of Natal has decided to hold this meeting. I think this was a due on the Muslims of South Africa as a whole. And this is at least a Farz-e Kifaya which has been performed by the Jamiat. And unfortunately, Maulana Ali Mia was not able to come to South Africa in spite of many efforts. And therefore, I don't think that the Muslims of South Africa, they really realize what has happened. The other parts of the world, they felt the shock and they felt the loss. And any country, the greater loss they felt, the more reaction there was. There are certain tragedies which are confined to a particular person or to a particular community or to a particular city, family. And therefore, the impact of that kind of tragedy is confined and limited to a particular place or a particular family. But there are certain tragedies or certain tragedy takes place which affects the whole world. And in the case of Maulana Ali Mia also exactly the same thing, that is, it was not confined to a particular family, to a particular person, to a particular community, at a particular place, but affected the whole Muslim world as a whole. Hardly there is an institution in the Muslim world which did not feel the loss. There is an Arabic saying, Mautul Alam, Mautul Alam, that the death of an Alam is the death of the world. In what way it is? That is the ilm. There is a hadith also that how the ilm will be lifted up in the heaven. The Rasulullah replied, by the death of the ulama, that the knowledge which is with them, that also goes with it. As a consequence, the world becomes poorer and poorer and poorer. When my father died in 1953, at the time of the burial, there were so many speeches, but one of the speeches which was made by the cultural attaché of Iraq at that time, Abul Khair Yaqsusi, he, during the speech, he uttered a sentence which really shook the whole community and people who were there at the burial at the Tadfeen. He said that, O Sulaiman, we are not grieved at your death, but we are grieved that the knowledge which was in your chest, that is also buried with you. And that's a tragedy. And Maulana Ali Mia is exactly the same. If you look around the world today, from two different angles, until recently there were two scholars in the world, in the Muslim world. I'm talking about Indo-Pakistan subcontinent. One is Dr. Hamidullah, which is alhamdulillah alive, but in a very difficult state, and in a purely academic and manner, he produced and he served the Muslim world very well. And after that, in the Western world, there is no Muslim scholar who can face up the Western scholarship. The second is Maulana Ali Mia Sahab. That is, the world has become so poor. Normally, if somebody dies, an alim dies, somebody happens, there is somebody who takes over. When Maulana Shibli died, there were his students who took over and took the matter further. like Deoband or Nadwa or Madrasah Ulum, anything there, the shuyukh died, but their students took the matter further. The tragedy which is now is that after Ali Mia's death, there is absolute silence in the world. There is nothing there. Allah may produce somebody, that's something else, that will be a miracle. And may Allah does so. But on the surface of that, it looks absolutely silent. The whole Muslim world looks like paralyzed. Nothing there. The greatest quality of Osman Ali Mia was his tanavvu, that is, the variety of his field of knowledge. His real fields were tafsir, tariq, and adab. But the spectrum was so wide. If on one other hand he's writing on tasawwuf, tazkiyah, or ihsan, on the other hand he's writing on the adab, then he's writing on the Rizal al-Fikr wa Dawah, that is the spiritual people who the people who had made an impact in terms of movement on the Muslim world as a whole. He himself came from a very knowledgeable, respectable academic family. His father, Muhammad Yusuf, just mentioned, Maulana Abdul Hai Sahab, hardly anybody knows here, but he is the author of a very famous book called Nuzhat al-Khawatir, one of the volumes which was completed by Maulana Ali Mia himself. I had the fortune of meeting his elder brother, Dr. Abdul Aziz Sahab. If any would have seen him, the other day we were talking to Maulana Muji Sahab, as if see somebody coming, say as if an angel is coming. These are, as Maulana mentioned, somebody said, if you see this person, you will feel as if even the thought of sin will not cross his heart. These are the qualities that we are talking about. And Maulana Ali Mia come from the same family. His mother was a very knowledgeable person. His wife, his sister, take anybody, the whole family is involved. In Khana Hama of Tabas, his family is full of sons, S-U-N, and everybody has got something to offer. One of the important quality, I feel to me is very important, and one of the most important, his magnum opus to me, his book, which is in seven volumes, called Tariq al-Dawat al-Azimat. That is in Arabic it's called Rizal al-Fikr al-Dawah, which has been translated into English. He chose certain persons of the community who made an impact on the world as a whole. Adar Shah Wajulda Sahib, Ibn Taymiyyah, Sayyidah Mashaheed, you mentioned the names that which are all there. And another quality that he had, that was his courage. You must have heard Kalimat al-Haqq in Sultan and Jair, that a word of truth in front of a tyrant, it is easy to say, but difficult to do it. But he used to do it. If you have read that book, which is written in Arabic, Isma'i ya Masr, listen, O Egypt. Now, Egypt, everybody knows what they do. But to speak up against Jamal Abdel Nasser is not easy. But he did. He came to Pakistan and he wrote a book, Hadith of Pakistan. And he said to Pakistan what it is all about. He went to America, to the community, written America se saaf saaf baatein, very frank conversation with people who are living in America. He points out all the time the defects, and you could see that how he was feeling the pain that where the Muslim community is. And my feeling is the greatest loss is being felt now is India, in India. Because Maulana Ali Mia was in India, who was taking all the arrows on his heart and facing the government, the tyranny of the government, and everything that was happening in the defense of Muslims of India. He was shielded. Anything happened to him, the Indian government was put to defense Recently, there were a few demonstrations against him in Nadwa and everywhere else. The whole world felt the shock. And every time it happened, the Prime Minister of India, the President of India, they had to go and apologize to him because what face they are going to show to the world that what you are doing to this man. And therefore, it is a tragedy in that sense, which is directly felt by the people of India. When Shah Banu case came, who defended the thing? When just now Bande Mataram issue came up, who stood up there? That was Maulana Ali Mian. So the thing is this, that is felt everywhere else. Certain institutions which are directly involved, like Riyadhul Ulama, Dawud Sunafin Azamgarh, but you give me a name which is not affected by his death. Whether it's Rabita Alib Islami, whether it's Rabita Adab Islami, whether it is Oxford Center of Islamic Studies, whether it is Dawud Sunafin, whether it is Nazratul Ulama, whether it is Deoband, whether it is Aligarh, whether it is Mazahir Ulum, whether it is Umm al-Qura, whether Muhammad bin Saud University, Jamiat al-Riyad, or Fiqh Academy, Indian Islamic Fiqh Academy, you may name it. Everywhere his voice was heard, and everywhere he was respected. Last when I had spoken to him, just before I left South Africa for overseas, it was somewhere in October. At that time, alhamdulillah, he had recovered because he had an attack of paralysis. And when I spoke to him, alhamdulillah, by the time he has recovered quite a bit. And then he said, "Tumhara nadwa pa haq hai. You have got a right over nadwa. Don't forget it. And make a plan to come as soon as you can. And keep in touch with me in writing," kind of thing. When I had approached him, and I said, "Hardly there is a piece of earth which has not been able, which hasn't been given water by your knowledge. South Africa is the only country where you haven't come." I had discussed with him, so I'm talking about a few years ago, 2-3 years ago, and he had agreed to come. And he told me one thing. He said, "The condition is that if I come, don't ask for contributions for Nazratul Ulama." If he wanted to, he would have filled Nazratul Ulama with gold. Anywhere he would have gone, all the prizes that he received, whether Faisal Award, whether last was the Qatar Award, or whatever award the thing, the money that he used to get, he never used for himself. That money was given away to various, but not to Nadwa. So that nobody accuses this is what he is doing for himself or for Nadwa. You know, last point I'm making is this. It is very easy, and I include myself, it is very easy to give a lecture on taqwa, to give a speech on taqwa, on the virtues of taqwa. It's very difficult to act upon it. Taqwa par taqreer karna aasan hai. Taqwa par amal karna mushkil hai. Hamare Hazrat Hakim Muqtada Sahab Madadul Ali, he said in my last meeting a beautiful thing, he said, and that opened my eyes also, because there, this is something even ulama are under misconception about the point which I'm going to make just now. He said that the basis of salihiyat, neki ki bunyad, the basis of that is not tahajjud, but taqwa. You can make tahajjud every day, but tomorrow you will do just the opposite of what tahajjud demands. So tahajjud taqwa ke bunyad nahi hai. Nek amal, uski bunyad taqwa ke upar hai.
to speak on taqwa is easy, but to act upon taqwa is very difficult. I have seen few with my eyes how they act upon it. Whenever I went to Nadwa, those of you who have been to Nadwa, you would know that there is old Mehmal Khana, the guest house, where normally he used to stay. The big room, and adjacent to that is a small room. So the small room used to be bedroom, and the big room used to be the drawing room or living room. My father used to stay in that small room, and that used to be served as a living room. When I went before 1996 once, so he instructed people there to make arrangements for me to live in that small room where my father used to stay. At that time, I mean even afterwards, last when I went, Maulana Azimia was there. When we arranged, he extended his stay for another 2-3 days, so that while I am there, then he will also be there. The food that used to come from the madbakh, that come for the guests, those who stay there. But his food used to come from his home. He never ate the makbazbu food, because that food is for the guest and not for the host in that sense. Ab ye taqwa ki baat, it's not easy. I saw my father that when he used to write things, officially when he's writing anything, he used to read, he used to use official pen. And if he used to write his letter, he used to take out his own pen and write his letter. And even at that time, if you push a private letter or something to sign, he had that much presence of mind, he used to put the official pen and take out his own pen and write on it. How many of us really, we work in our offices, in our places, how many things we use just like that without thinking anything, that whose pen we are using, who thinks what we are doing. So I'm talking about that Maulana Azimia, they have reached that point where for him this become a very natural thing. So taqwa par taqreer karna aasan, taqwa par amal karna mushkil. This is not only one, I can give you hundreds of examples. That is what happened. Last time when I was there, Maulana Azimia instructed the people to arrange a jalsa where I should speak to the students of Nadwatul Ulama. And I had gone at that time to see Maulana Manzoor Noman Sahab, who was at that time alive. And I was just coming in, but he got it restless. He phoned there that the time of jalsa is just about to come, and I came. So when I came and saw him to standing up and going to the jalsa, I said, Hazrat, this is not possible. You are not going there. He said, Nahin, log kya kahenge? What will the people will say? Ye to mera haq hai. Phir he said, this is where we are losing the barakat of knowledge and everything else. The relationship with the ustad, between ustad and shagird, that's what we are losing. He said, he used to call my father, everybody used to call him Sayyid Sahab. He said, Sayyid Sahab ke mujh par itne haq hain ki main usse ohda bara nahi ho sakta. There's so much right Sayyid Sahab has over me that I cannot discharge those things, and I think in this way I'll be able to discharge one of his rights. So I said, Hazrat, there will be only one lecture, one speech, either yours or mine. And if you are going, it will be yours and not mine. He said, Nahin, I will still come. So maine kaha, acha Hazrat, compromise. Aap chaliye, you come with us, you introduce, you say whatever you want to say, then you come away. Only then I can speak. That he agreed. Now what is this? This is how to treat your youngsters. This is not very easy thing to do. But his tawazu, his akhlaq, his kirdar, clean slate, absolutely clean slate. So what we lost, we cannot visualize this. May Allah produce somebody who can take care of this thing, but the way things have happened, I don't see in the near future anything is happening like that, what's happening. The books that he produced, Allah Ta'ala had given so much barakat in his time. In the morning he used to write. When he was not able to write, he used to dictate. How many books he has written? How many subjects he has touched? Many of his books have been translated to English. And his own biography, which he has published in several volumes. You name it, the book that he written. Because, what has happened? Because he realized the Western mind and the impact that it is having on the minds of the youth. And if you read those books, it is eye-opener. And not easy to swallow what West said. You have to have a courage, you have to have a knowledge to do what you want to do. As Maharaj has just mentioned, his mother had impressed upon him from the beginning in the house that every Friday you must read Surah Kahf. Maulana has written a book on Surah Kahf, its virtues of the reading of Surah Kahf. Because of his paralysis, doctors had advised him to stay in Nadwa in Lucknow because of treatment. It's a strange way, really. We have no control over these things that he died on December 31st, when the century was closing. And everybody was talking about the millennium, and the next day was 1st of January. I don't know what is there. Sometimes I feel a little unstable that what caused that Maulana Ali Miah died on 31st of December before the next millennium comes in. The century was closing. It was the Akhir Ashra of Ramadan. And on Thursday, while he was in Lucknow, he insisted that he want to go to Rai Bareilly. Before that, he was staying in Nadwa. But on that Thursday, somehow he insisted that he want to go to Rai Bareilly. This is his town. Because in the month of Ramzan, people from all over the place come and pass Ramzan there with him. And he was feeling uncomfortable because people normally come to Rai Bareilly, where they've got a place where they can stay and things like this. So on Thursday he went there. Friday morning he had a bath and he was reading Surah Kahf. And before the Friday prayer, he just passed away while he was reading the Surah Kahf. Now, the Nek Bande, the good people, their acceptability to Allah Ta'ala is already indicated in this world. The manner in which they die. Therefore, there is a hadith which says that they are good people, virtuous people. Their life with the spirit goes away as if you can take hair from the dough. So easily it comes out. So these are the people that we are talking about. And may Allah Ta'ala do some miracle somewhere that somebody comes in and takes his place and takes things away. Just, I want to make one point and I'll finish. Few years ago, in 75, there was a Sirah conference in Qatar, which was being chaired by the Amir of Qatar. And you know how the Arabs are, all the pomp and show and glory and kinds of things happen. And the first time in that session, Najmuddin Erbakan, who is the leader of the Millah party in Turkey, who was just disqualified because of his Islamic leaning, he was also attending the meeting. And there, for the first time, Najmuddin Erbakan, a Muslim Turk, mentioned for the first time about the Renaissance and the revival of the Khilafat. Now, if you know that the Ottoman Khalifa was the last Khilafat, which expired in 1924, to hear the word Khilafat and the revival of the Khilafat from the tongue of a Muslim Turk that shook the whole jalsa. And Maulana Ali Miah was presiding, keynote speaker. And he had a prepared speech. And when he heard what Nirbuddin Abrakhan was saying, he left his prepared speech and he gave extemporal speech. And all the Arab leaders that were there, Qamir Qatar were there. And what he said, your karamat, izzat, is because of Islam. Because all the slogans, or بِإِسْمِ الْقَوْمِ الْعَرَبِي بِإِسْمِ الشَّعَبِ الْعَرَبِي بِإِسْمِ الْكَرَامَةِ الْعَرَبِيَّةِ الْعَرَبِي كِي كَرَامَةِ عَرَبِيَّةِ كِي كَرَامَةِ These are all slogans of Jahiliyyah. These are all slogans of the days of ignorance. Your karamat is because of Islam. And we honor you because of Islam. If you haven't been Muslim, what matters to me? And it was a very powerful speech that he made. But this is what the point I was making. It's easy to say, but difficult to do it. But he used to do it. There is a famous couplet, sometime I feel. Maqdoor ho to khaak se poochhoon ke ae laeem. Maqdoor ho to khaak se poochhoon ke ae laeem. Tu ne wo ganj haaye garam aaya kya ki? That if there is a power could ask the grave, that what did you do with those stalwarts who have gone away? This came, I don't know whether he comes or doesn't come, but whatever he has left, an impact on the whole Muslim world as a whole. And with his death, every institution in the Muslim world is feeling, is yatim, is orphan. Make dua to Allah Ta'ala that is at least that he be able to read those books, you will be able to remember him. That is his sadqa-i jariya. He is in the Allah maqbool, and Allah Ta'ala will give him the highest place. But through him, through his knowledge, whatever Allah Ta'ala has given, that may Allah Ta'ala accept, and that for a long, long time, I do not think in the near future his place will be filled. And we are poorer and poorer every day. May Allah have mercy on us and on the community as a whole. Wa akhiru da'wana lil alamin.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى My respected ulama kiram, my elders and brothers, what my true colleague is for and what I will speak. If we actually know the life of Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Abul Hasanani Radu Rahmatullah Ali, there is days and days we can't speak on his life. Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadvi Rahmatullahi was a very, very great alim of this time. Very great research scholar. Expert in Arabic language. Very great Sufi. Very great alim. Very great mujahid. On which aspect of his life we should speak? If I speak on his life, there when at the age of 10 he became orphan, how his mother, who was Rabia Basariya of her time, or who himself was a Hafiza and Alima and author of some books, how she brought her son up. That is a very, very long story. And in that, we got very, very great lesson. How Maulana Ali Miah was educated. How he became so expert of Arabic language. And who was his ustad in Nadwa. Who was this Ustad, Sheikh Taqiyuddin Hilali Marakashi? Who was this Ustad, Sheikh Khalil Arab? From who he got such a great knowledge? Who was his Ustad Hadith, Ustad Tafsir, and Ustad Adab, Ustad Lughat, Ustad Fiqh? That is a very, 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 very long chapter of his life. I'll give you a small example. When he qualified at the age of 21, in India, there was one very well-known lawyer with the name of Dr. Ambedkar. He was leader of untouchable community. And the population of untouchable was 100 million in India. And he was very highly qualified lawyer, and he was principal of law college in Bombay. And when India got independence, he was very against the Congress party. But Congress was forced to invite him to become chairman of Constitutional Committee. We will draw the Constitution of India. He made a statement, we are oppressed people in India. Actually in India, 82% of the people are untouchable. Among them we are also. Only 18% of the population is Brahman or high caste. And this untouchable was treated in India worse than animal. If an untouchable, he touched a person of higher caste, he will become napak. If the shadow of untouchable fell on the higher caste person's foot, that is haram for him. Worse than animal they were treated. What is the reason? But through the effort of Sufiya Kiram, within very limited period, millions of Indians became into the fold of Islam. Why? Because there was one religion in India only was preaching hate. This is Shodar, this is Napak, this is unclean, this cannot come in our mandir. He can't read our Veda, he can't do this, he can't do this, he can't do this. He can't sit with us and eat. When Islam came to in India, Sufiya Kiram Rahmatullah Alayhim Ajmain, they loved the oppressed people. They served them. They made them sit next to them and feed them. There was a fight between hate and love. The hate was defeated. Yeah? Today the Muslim population of India, Bangladesh and Pakistan is over 400 million. So anyhow, then the Dr. Ambedkar announced, we are the oppressed people, we haven't got any dignity in Hindu religion, now I'm thinking which religion I must accept. Which religion I must accept. That give us dignity, that give us love, and give us respect. Then Hazrat Maulana, Dr. Sayyid Abdul Ali Rahmatullah, was his elder brother. I seen him in 1950 when I was returning with Hazrat Shaykhul Islam, Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah from Hazrat hometown Tanda. I spent 1 month whole of Ramzan with Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. And the whole family of Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadvi Rahmatullah Ali, he was very attached to Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah Ali. Dr. Abdul Ali was his murid. Maulana Abul Hasan Ali, sometime he read Dore Hadith by him. When the train reached to Lucknow, then when Hazrat came out of, you know, train, one big crowd came to welcome him. I noticed one person is standing far, full of noor. So much noor on his shakal, I was thinking in my mind, first time I seen a person with full of noor. Eh? Everybody is making musafa with Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali and is standing with full respect and full adab. When everybody finished the musafa, then Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali walked towards him. He just ran and grabbed Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. Then somebody told me, this is a Dr. Abdullahi. When first time Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Manazir Hasan Gilani Rahmatullah Ali, Dean of Department of Islamic Studies in Usmania University, Hyderabad, Maulana Abdul Majid Daryabadi, told to him, if you get chance, go and meet Maulana Dr. Abdul Ali. He was also Nazim of Nadratul Ulama. When Maulana Sayyid Manazir Hasan Gilani Rahmatullah Ali, I'm so sad to say that very unfortunately our people haven't got the love of reading. From this crowd you can understand. Okay, the people haven't got any love of reading. So anyhow, with Hazrat Maulana Manazir Rahmatullah, very great author. Eh? He was counted in India among Hazrat Allama Sayyid Sufyan Nadvi Rahmatullah Ali, Maulana Manazir Gilani Rahmatullah Ali, Maulana Abdul Majid Daryabadi. You must read his book, you know, An-Nabiyul Khatim, and he wrote one book, Musalmano Ka Taalim O Talbiyat. Hazrat Allama Sayyid Sufyan Rahmatullah Ali comment on this book. This type of book, Europe couldn't produce in 100 years' time. But unfortunately, all that literature is in Urdu. When Maulana Manazir and Gilani Rahmatullah Ali met to Dr. Abdul Hai, and after meeting, he met Maulana Abdul Majid Daryabadi Rahmatullah Ali. Then he told to Maulana Daryabadi, Maulana, you introduced me to a person, ke sari umr uske dil mein guna ka shubha bhi nahi guzra hoga. गुनाह का ख्याल भी नहीं आया होगा ऐसा आदमी कि जिसने के दिल में गुनाह का ख्याल भी नहीं आया होगा तो एनी हाउ एंड सेम मौलाना वाज ऑलवेज हजरत मजीद रहमतुल्लाह अली वाज गोइंग टू लखनऊ देन ऑलवेज ही वाज स्टेइंग विद डॉक्टर अब्दुल अली ही हिमसेल्फ ऑफ मुरी तो हजरत मौलाना मदनी रहमतुल्लाह अली हिज मदर ऑल्सो वॉज मुरीद ऑफ हजरत मदनी रहमतुल्लाह अली There I met Maulana Abul Hasan Nadvi. And so simple and humble man, I spoke to him hours and hours. And only he heard, he didn't spoke. After the meeting, I asked somebody, where is Maulana Abul Hasan Nadvi? Then he told me who he was, they told me who he was speaking to. So simple. And when I became very close to him, I read the Urdu translation of Maza Khasir al Alamo bi Inhitat al Muslimin. What loss, what the world lost by the decline of Muslim. Musalman ke decline se dunya ko kya nuksan hua. I was so much impressed. I wrote to him a letter, ke this is a book, must be translated into English. At that time, hardly Indian or Pakistani Muslim was migrated to England, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, America. Then he replied to me, Mauli Abdullah, who will buy this book? I replied, I will buy 500 copies. Then I thanks to Allah Rabbul Izzat, Allah give me the honor that the translation of Hazrat Maulana's book started from my effort. And this is the book. they was chairman of the Islamic and Middle East studies in London University. He praised the book and he wrote, "This is the first book I seen in my life that will awaken a Muslim. Musalmano ko zinda karne ki sabse behtareen kitab hai." And professor of Middle East or some department is Cambridge University, Professor Sajjan. He wrote, "If I am allowed to approach the government to ban any book, I will ban, I'll approach to the government, this book must be banned in England." And when one English publisher, he tried to print, publish this book in England, there was dispute. Some people told, "No, this book mustn't be published in England." Some people told, "No, this must be printed." Then they decided, "We must approach to Montgomery Watt, who wrote the book, Muhammad at Mecca, Muhammad at Medina, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." They approached him. And they asked his view. So those people who was opposing that this book must be published in England, they told to Montgomery Watt, "What reason we don't want this book to publish in India?" Then he told, "So many weakness of West he mentioned. This book is totally anti-West. Let us tell me one thing. What he wrote in the book is lie or true?" Then they replied, "What he wrote is right. Then this book must be printed. Must be published for England." So alhamdulillah, after that book, printing of that book, I established one bookshop. When I returned in this country in 1951, I realized that our community haven't got any love of reading. We got one day one European came to me and he told me, "Mr. Umarji, if you want, I can get white identity card for you." I told, "That is insult to me. That is insult to me. I am a Muslim. I am much superior than you people because we got golden history. Go and read our history. Then we'll know what is the history of Muslim." So, and I feel that is insult to us. What is your civilization? Just like an aeroplane. Got accelerator, no brake, no wheel. What will be the end of that plane? Crash civilization, that will crash. The bilkul Western civilization, the Maulana Rahmatullahi pointed each and every weakness of the West. And that was the greatness of Maulana Alimia. He was aware of every anti-Islamic movement in the world. Every Islamic movement in the world. And he always defended Islam. Now I'll give you a small example. Maulana Marchi Sahab mentioned that Arab nationalism. In 1960, President Jamal Abdul Nasser, who done very great damage to Islam, and he done very great favor to Israel. I won't elaborate now. When he started movement of Arab nationalism and Voice of Arab, every day, there is propagating Arab nationalism. And you know what is Arab nationalism? The leader of Arab nationalism was Michael Aflaq, a Christian. What was his belief? Arab can't achieve a respect and dignity until their iman on Arab nationalism is much greater than iman of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah? That is Arab nationalism. So alhamdulillah, whole of the family, there is what Maulana's nephew, Maulana Muhammad, Dr. Abdulaziz's son, very great writer. And according to some people, he died at very early age. If he should get long life, his pen should be much greater than Maulana Al-Mia Nadwi. Now he starts writing. Again, what is Arab nationalism? Actually is a movement against Islam. Is a great movement against Islam. That's why whenever Jamal Abdul Nasir was delivering lecture, at the end of lecture his slogan was Al-Izzatu lil-Arab. Yeah? Allah say Al-Izzatu lillahi wa li-Rasulihi wa lil-Mu'mineen. And Jamal Abdul Nasir was saying Al-Izzatu lil-Arab. Yeah? So alhamdulillah, every batil movement, Hazrat Maulana Al-Mia and his family fought, and they wrote so much against Jamal Abdul Nasir that Egyptian embassy in India, they have to complain government, okay, you must stop this group to write against Jamal Abdul Nasir. But they can't do that because there is a freedom to express opinion. But that is true. I'll tell you one thing. I don't believe in that. Why? If a man says that, I got freedom to express my opinion. And what is my opinion? All those people who got very beautiful wife and I got ugly wife. So all those people who got ugly wife, they must kidnap beautiful wife. That you can say freedom of speech. Yeah? So anyhow, Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Radhiyallahu was a very, very, very great scholar. And what was his art? He was aware of each and every weakness of the West and each or every weakness of the Muslim, and he presented Islam in a manner that all those educated people and who was influenced by Orientalists. Aapko maloom hai Orientalists kisko kehte hain? Orientalists is a group who study Islam. What intention? Can we find any weakness in the life of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? We exploit it, not with good intention. Only their intention is this, that if we find any weakness in the life of Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we will exploit it. And their literature are full of light. And there is another one group. I call them Mustaghribin. Those Muslim scholars who are the student of Orientalists, Mustashrikeen, and they got inferiority complex. They too write against Islam. One man came here, you know, in Durban. He's supposed to deliver a lecture in one mosque. They refused. He tried to another mosque. He refused. Then he approached to Dr. Salman Nadwi. Dr. Sahib, why I was not allowed to speak? People say, my aqidah is not right. Right? You wrote that Rasulullah SAW was following the Arab tradition, they was looting caravan. So, sabse dangerous group, to Hazrat Maulana Ali Mia Rahmatullah Ali ne khub unka muqabla kiya, unki jamaat ka muqabla kiya. On many, many occasions, he was invited by the leader of the nation, king of the nation. King Faisal invited him. He met to King Faisal. And when King Faisal asked him, Maulana, what you spoke, I heard that. And whenever Maulana was meeting any head of the state, only one thing they was mentioning, that Western civilization culture is entering your country. That will be very dangerous for country, and for Islam. Every head of state, that was his warning. Okay, this will bring atheism, this will bring the moral, what a moral collapse of the people. देखो ये तो क्या करूं हमारा तो मेरा तो दिल चाहता है कि कजी मुझे मौका मिले मैं रोज वीक में दो बयान करूं देखो व्हाट इज द कल्चर ऑफ वेस्ट इन बिटवीन अब्दुल रहीम सुकारनो वो वाज फर्स्ट प्रेसिडेंट ऑफ इंडोनेशिया ही वाज प्ले बॉय ही इनवाइटेड ए राइटर वेल नोन राइटर लुई फिशर फ्रॉम यूनाइटेड स्टेट And when he arrived, then President Abdul Rahim Sukarno requested him that you must visit our country, and after visiting country, you give us me an advice what I should do about my country. So he visited whole country, and he told Mr. President, I came. Across an idea, your family is needing very badly family planning. It's very bad, very important for your family, your country, to accept family planning, introduce family planning. So no, that I won't do. I don't want to bring with the name of family planning immorality in my country. Why you base this opinion, President? I visited Canada. I am a playboy. If I meet girls, I start dancing with them on the street. Then I visited one university. Young girl met me. They surrounded me. I start joking and laughing with them. And I grab their purse. And I open and seen. In every purse, unmarried girl. Har ek ke purse mein, जो है बर्थ कंट्रोल और फैमिली प्लानिंग की चीजें थी गैर शादीशुदा होते हैं जिनकी शादी नहीं हुई थी उनके यहां भी सब ये बच्चे पैदा ना हो उसकी सब चीजें थी इसीलिए खैर आई डोंट वांट टू शिफ्ट फ्रॉम माय सब्जेक्ट एनी हाउ हजरत अली मियां रहमतुल्लाह अली यू नो ही रोट लॉट ऑफ बुक एंड एवरी बुक इज मास्टरपीस Many people, they write a lot, but all writing is not good. But what Ali Mia wrote, every book, you know, his book, Islam and the World, is worth to read. His book, Savior of Islamic Spirit, Tariq-e-Dawat wa Azimat, that originally all his book was written in Arabic, Rijalul Fikr wa Dawa, that is translated with the name of Tariq-e-Dawat wa Azimat. And Alhamdulillah, thousands of books printed in Arab world, and Maulana Rahmatullah didn't ask one publisher for royalty. So sincere he was. He was given a Faisal Award, big amount of money. Whole money he donated to Afghan Fund and gave to Madrasa Saudiya. He was given award, and donated big amount of money from Sultan of Brunei. All was given to charity. When I was in India, last Ramadan, I read in newspaper that Arab Emirates, they sent a special charter plane to Lucknow to fetch Ali Mia. They fetched Maulana Ali Mia Ramtullahi, and they took Maulana to Arab Emirates. And in Arab Emirates, the prince, crown prince, and the elderly leader of the community, they presented him award of best scholar and a Muslim and a great personality among the Muslim in 1998. And they gave him 1,016,000 rand. front of the crowd, he told them, all this money is waqf lillah and they will go to charity. So much so, when two people from Radhwa came to South Africa for collection, they told me that money was distributed through our hand, but Radhwa didn't get one penny. That's why, because of sincerity, his simplicity, his qanaat, his istighna, his tawakkul ala Allah, and his very close contact to ulama, especially Hazrat Madani, Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria, and his Sheikh, Hazrat Sheikh Shah Abdul Qadir Rahmatullah Ali, Allah Rabbul Izzat through their akabir dua gave him such a high respect in the Muslim world that within last 40 years nobody got that respect. And he was the only person who can speak front of Arab and who can speak and tell them directly what is their fault. And if I don't make mistake, in some conference in Arab he mentioned that and remind them, listen, you people, your forefather was drinking the urine of camel. Nobody had got courage. No Indian alim can say that. No Indian alim beside him could say that. And Allah Rabbul Izzat gave you such a great respect because of Islam. And when we notice disloyalty from you people toward Islam, then our heart cries. Nobody can say that. Koi kahi nahi sakta tha, unke alawa. Isliye, ke whether whatever he got from the government, all he spent in the path of deen, and he didn't spend one cent on his family. So much so, last thing I will say and finish my bayan, Hazrat Maulana Nu'mani Rahmatullah Ali was here in 1972. On my invitation, he came here. One day he told me, Kamali Abdullah, what a simple life these people got. Even he haven't got bathroom in his house. He is going to river for bath. To batao, aise aadmi ki maut par, you know, yun kehna chahiye, ke not he is dead. Death of 100 years. Ek sau baras, ek sadi ki jo hai maut hai, aise aadmi ki maut ke upar, hazaron, lakhon insaan roye, aur lakhon insaanon ke haath uth gaye, unke liye dua ke liye, aur uthte rahenge, aur ye ummat-e-muslima, barson tak unko bhool nahi sakegi, aur puri aane wali century mein, ummat-e-muslima par unka bahut bada aur zabardast ehsaan. Allah Rabbul Izzat unke darajat ko buland farmaye, Allah unke qabr ko jannat ke baaghon mein se baagh banaye, aur Allah Rabbul Izzat unke piche rehne wale ko sabr naseeb farmaye, aur apne ustad ka jo baagh unko som par ustad chhod kar gaye the, jisko unhone parwan chadhaya, Nahdlatul Ulama, Allah us madrasa ki bhi hifazat farmaye, خداوند قدوس خوب ترقی نصیب فرمائے اور اللہ رب العزت بہترین جانشین امت کو ان کا نصیب فرمائے الحمدللہ رب العالمین والصلاة والسلام على سیدنا نبینا وحبیبنا وشفینا مولانا محمد وآلہ وسلم الی العالمین. تو تمام ان لوگوں کو جو ایمان اور عرفان کے ساتھ اس دنیا سے چلے گئے اے اللہ ان تمام کی تو مغفرت فرما. میرے مولا اور میرے آقا اس ملک کے اندر ہم کو ہمارے ایمان کی حفاظت کے ساتھ رہنے کے اسباب تو پیدا فرما. اے اللہ ہمارے ایمان کی حفاظت کے ساتھ اس ملک میں رہنے کے امن و امان کے ساتھ تو ہمارے لیے حالات پیدا فرما. اے اللہ ہماری عزت اور آبرو, ہمارے مال و منال, ہمارے عزیز و اقارب, ہمارے بال اور بچے, ہمارے ماں اور بہن, ہمارے بیٹے اور بیٹیاں, اے اللہ ان تمام کی عزت کی تو حفاظت فرما. اے اللہ دشمنوں کے شر کے تم کو محفوظ فرما. اے اللہ ان دشمنوں کو تو ہدایت نصیب فرما. اللہ ان کی قسمت میں ہدایت نہ ہو, خداوند عالم تو ان کو تباہ و برباد فرما کر بے قصور مقصوب انسانوں کی حفاظت فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم, وتب يا مولانا انك انت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلي وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب العالمين. By one thing I will advise, we must read Maulana book. And in English literature, the best literature you can, you know, get is from Maulana Academy of Islamic Research and Publication. And his father wrote a book in 7 volumes. He completed 8 volumes. And in the Muslim world, first person who wrote 4,500 people's biography of the country. Academy can do that. But his father, Maulana Sayyid Abdul Hayy Rahmatullah, has done it alone. And President Zakir Hussain, when he went to Egypt, he took this book with him and he gave to the ulama. The ulama was very, very, very impressed. And they were surprised that one man alone can do a work of an academy.